This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody, Kate Delaney broadcasting once again from Florida, the Sunshine State. Hope you had a great weekend and you kick into an even better May. Can you believe it? Before you know it, May is here as we have a handful of days left in April. Time is flying and it feels like the world is opening back up again. That's the great news. What's it like in your neck of the woods? How's it shaking? I want to know. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Are things opening up? Are people feeling good? Are you seeing masks come off more? What is the deal with vaccinations? Or do people feel like they've got herd immunity going on? I've had lots and lots of discussions with people from an organization that I'm speaking to, and these are business folks from all over the country, and this is the first thing we're talking about, what it's been like to finally get on a plane for many of them from Atlanta, from Minneapolis, from San Francisco, from all parts of the country coming to Florida, and what did their offices, et cetera, do in the meantime? And almost all of them absolutely felt that lockdown where they worked from home. That was the common thread with everybody. And I always say that we talk about what's the buzz in your backyard and my backyard. And frankly, you know, it still is the way our world's changed and where are we headed. So on that note, it is a big night for the Oscars. A strange night because it's not being held at the Kodiak Theater where it normally would be held. There was an announcement that it would be there next year. There's social distancing. They told the television audience that, in fact, people would be masked up when they weren't on TV. So kind of interesting to see how they did that. I just took a quick peek into it. CEO of Johnson & Johnson, the vaccine maker that sold 10 million, sold 10 million in stock before the company ruined the doses. So the chief of Emergent BioSolutions made sales of the stocks weeks before the company's share prices tumbled. Why am I even saying this at the top of it? Because I always think of Martha Stewart in Inside Information, wink, wink, and Camp Cupcake, supposedly, that she went to so many years ago. So anyway, the stock of the government contractor Emergent BioSolutions, like I said before, has fallen since the disclosure at the end of March that production problems at the firm's plant in Baltimore ruined those doses of Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine. Since then, AstraZeneca moved production of its own vaccine out of that same facility, and they halted the work temporarily there. But the decline had less of an impact than you might have thought on the personal finances of that chief executive. I mentioned his name, Robert Kramer, who sold that stock, what did I say, 10 million in the company in January and in early February. Based on the market price, the stocks that he sold were worth about $5.5 million. Whoops. Whoops. That's all I'm going to say. Right? Martha Stewart. And this guy. And the reason I bring up Martha Stewart, like I said, is because that people were shocked about her sentencing. And then look at what's happening here with this CEO. Just absolutely crazy. India set another daily COVID case record. That's not good. There have been 349,691 new cases in 24 hours. And, of course, look at population, look at vaccines that are available. Talk about herd immunity. Getting herd immunity for a place like India would be incredibly, incredibly tough, I would absolutely say. I am bouncing around here at the top as we are wont to do, kicking into a new week. So let me just dive into the Oscars for a second. This was pretty interesting. There's a movie called Nomadland, and Frances McDormand stars in it, rather. Chloe Zhao won for Best Director, so another woman winning for Best Director. And if she wasn't the only woman. It's been kind of I think an Oscars that are very female heavy and very ethnic heavy too as well, because there's always been complaints about that, but this year it seems like most of the Oscars that have come in, it's been a very, very different story, a very, very different story. One of the touching moments, I think, in this, Thomas Vinterberg won an Oscar and got up and got a little bit emotional. He said his daughter Ida had died when he was days into production of Another Round, the winner for Best International Feature. She was going to have a role in the film, and read the script and loved it and was just blown away with the excitement of doing it. And he said she was killed in an accident and felt as though she was there listening to what was being said and how exciting that was. But boy, he really kept it together, I think, in giving that speech, because you could tell, of course, he was getting emotional, saying how she had been hit by a driver who wasn't paying attention and got distracted, but telling the story no less, because she was supposed to be in the film. So good for him getting choked up and yet finishing it. All right, in the effort to stay with my own script, where it's all about bouncing around with little odds and ends at the top of this, the story about COVID is fully vaccinated Americans are going to be able to vacation in the EU this summer. That's according to the European Commission. That's very big news, because there are plenty of Americans, especially older Americans, who like to do that, to take the time to go to all those places they couldn't afford to go to, didn't have the time to go to. And now it looks like, you know, after being locked down, so to speak, with COVID, they'll be able to do that. So how fascinating is that to see that's lifted? Because for those of you listening to us in the European Union, it didn't seem like that was going to happen anytime soon. But, you know, they had halted all non-essential travel to the bloc more than a year ago in an attempt to limit the spread of coronavirus. But White House senior COVID-19 advisor Andy Slavitt said that this is an affirmation of the vaccine program. The fact that the president of the European Commission would say the Americans, as far as I can see, use European Medicine Agency approved vaccines, this enables free movement and the travel to the European Union. So with that data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saying that, listen, 28% of Americans are now fully vaccinated, means that it's been 2 weeks since their second dose of the Moderna Pfizer vax, or a week since their J&J single shot. It's funny, I talked to someone who got a single shot, said they felt comfortable about it, flew in from Wilmington, Delaware, to be at a conference in St. Petersburg, Florida. And this is what I'm saying about people feeling freer. I can feel it. I see it with movement, even people being careful, but yet feeling pretty confident that they're safe enough to unmask a little bit more and to go to restaurants. And maybe not everybody listening to me feels that way, but I'm certainly seeing it more than I've seen in a very long time. 140 million people have been vaccinated. The number of people have gotten at least one dose of the vaccine anyway, 52.4% of the eligible population, 16 and over 42.2% of the total population. Hang with us, everybody.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max. and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. But I haven't been a big rider of motorcycles, but I've been a big passenger on motorcycles. And in my mind, I really, really want to go to Sturgis. It's on my bucket list. Well, it's not on his bucket list. He's been there so many times, and he's written a book about it. J.J. Spain is with us in our virtual green room. His book is called Last Night in Sturgis. J.J., thanks so much for coming on.
Yes, it's great to be here.
So what initially drew you to Sturgis, and how long have you been going?
Oh, gosh. This will be my 28th year this year, 28 years in a row. And the very first time in Sturgis, I'd known about it for quite a while. You know, I worked in a gas station as a kid and saw bikes go through every year in August as they were going up there. But when I got married, had a little boy by the name of Matt. He was 4 years old, pushing five. And sitting in the house with him one day, and he comes up to me and goes, "Dad, we got to go to Sturgis. Hulk Hogan's going to be there." And I'm like, "What?" And he's talking. He's, and it's going to be free. So we looked it up, and we were big WWE fans, you know, All-Star Wrestling, that kind of stuff. So we got in the car and didn't have a motorcycle then. Got in the car and drove and went to Sturgis to go see Hulk Hogan. So that was our first trip to Sturgis, was to see Hulk.
So you go see Hulk Hogan, and then you're hooked. And how does this become a yearly thing for you?
Well, yeah, we did go there. We got in the atmosphere of the bikes, and to see Hulk, you had to get had to have a motorcycle to get up close. Otherwise, you're sitting way back in the bleachers. So the next year, I bought a motorcycle, and we went to see Hulk Hogan again. And that's how we got it going. It was kind of like my son and I went 2 years in a row. And then we decided to make it an annual event, and I would go up with him for a couple of days, and his mom would bring him in the van because she didn't want him on the back of the motorcycle, and I would follow on the bike, and then I'd spend a couple of days with my buddies and a couple of days with my kids. And so we ended up making a week event out of it, and it's just kind of blossomed from there. And when my son was old enough to ride, he started riding his own bike, and we just continued to go.
So with 28 years, you've seen a lot of changes. What is it like now compared to what it was like when you first started going?
Well, you know, every year got bigger. That the 75th was 5 years ago, and there's over a million bikes there. So it went, you know, grew from 100, 200, 300,000 bikes to a million and just kept growing. And with that comes, you know, more vendors, more commercialism. You know, Easy Rider came in, some of the big names came in. And then you just see the bikers kind of change. What I love about Sturgis is, you have the million-dollar RV with the guy on it, and he's hauling a $70,000 bike, and then you got a guy with a 1989 Sturgis edition, Springer bike, Harley Davidson, and a backpack and a tent, and he's tenting it out. And they're staying in the same campground, and they're having beer together. And that's what I like about it, is that it brings everybody together, and just such a unique background of different people that you get to meet.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite story of all your Sturgis travels?
Well, you know, it's probably the first year when I didn't even have a bike. I'd, you know, taking my son up there, waiting in line to go to see Hulk Hogan. We were standing in line, and there was bikers all around us, and we were standing by this guy, and he's from New York. His motorcycle had New York plates. We're standing there visiting with him, and he was a huge guy. Just wore a vest, no shirt, hair coming out all over. He had this great big belly that was sticking out over his tank, and he had a black or a brownish leather vest on. On the back it said Mongols, which is a biker gang, and he came out of Syracuse, New York. So we're talking to him, and of course his name is Tiny. He's a huge guy, and his name's Tiny. And the security guard comes up and says, "Okay, we're gonna let you in, but Mr. You and that boy, you can't come in. It's motorcycles only." And we've been standing there for a couple hours, and we just didn't know we were in the wrong line. And Tiny, he says, "Hey, put your boy in the back of my bike. I'll get him in, and you ride with my buddy over here." And so Tiny, I put my son on the back of a Mongol's bike, and he gets on. And I said, "No, Matt, hang on." He hugs Tiny just as much as he can. He didn't want to fall off, and Tiny just smiles. And they ride into the parking lot, and I look over at the other guy. And he's huge. He's 2 foot taller than me, and he's sitting on his bike. And I said, "I'm not getting on your back of your bike." And he goes, "No, you're not getting on the back of my bike." And he just looks at that security guard and says, "He's coming in with me." And the security guard does it. Okay. And he let him in. And so that's probably one of my fun stories, because I got to meet an actual biker from a motorcycle club. And it was exciting. We ended up sitting there with those guys watching the wrestling at night, and you know, I bought them a couple of beers and just had a good time and hung out. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, boy, it sounds fun. And again, you can get this book on Amazon, Last Night in Sturgis, J.J. Spain. What is it about riding motorcycles? I mean, you must love it.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's one of those things, when you get on your bike, well, there's T-shirts that say, "If I have to explain it, you wouldn't understand." But, you just get on it, your pressures of work goes away, and you just ride. And, you know, I rode with my kids, and that was fun. My wife loves to ride. She gets on the back, and that's fun. And she feels the same way. You just forget about things, and you can see all the scenery and the wind in your face. It's just, it's relaxing. It's peaceful. We ride all the time. Just got back from Daytona Bike Week. It was a 4,000-mile ride up and back, and it's just enjoyable. When you come back, you're refreshed, and you're ready to go back to work.
Yeah. What made you decide you were going to capture all of this in the book Last Night in Sturgis?
Well, you know, I'm an avid reader. I love, like Lee Child and Harlan Coben and Michael Conley. They're some of my favorite authors, Walter Mosley. And reading those, they don't really ever talk about a biker or a motorcyclist, but they talk about their passions that they like. And so this is my passion. I like it. And after, so many years going there, you see so many storylines of things that could happen. What if this would happen? What if that would have happened? And I'm really a listener to people's conversations, and I take notes, and the story just kind of evolved. And with it, it's a little bit of a travel guide. So I'm going to take you through the streets of Sturgis, the main bars and establishments, and their actual locations. I didn't make up the locations. We go into the Dungeon Bar and the Oasis and Easy Rider and One Eye Jacks and different places. So you get a bit of a travel guide, and with a little murder mystery involved.
Ooh, murder mystery. Love that. So those bars that you mentioned, they're pretty world-renowned bars. When you go there, because again, you talk about being sort of innocent the first time you go. Now you're an experienced rider. But what you said you like is that people just, it doesn't matter. You can be a millionaire. You can have $5 in your pocket. Everybody just, it's this community. And you've seen how that community's grown. What do you think the biggest misconception are about Sturgis and bikers?
Well, you know, there's always that, you know, that that persona of you know, the Hells Angels types and the one percenters, and even, and those guys are there at the rally too, and they'll sit and have a beer with you and visit with you as well. So I think people kind of think that they're rebels, or they're kind of you know, don't trust them type mentality. But you know, most of the guys that are rider like myself, I sell insurance. You know, there's doctors and lawyers, and there's all sorts of professionals there. And then there's your common, you know, this everybody that just works. They're just there to have a good time, and that's what brings you together. Is that we're all there with one common thing in mind, and that's just to enjoy the bikes and enjoy the ride. And Sturgis, that in the Black Hills of South Dakota, has more unique rides than you'll ever see and ever get to experience. And so you're busy all day. You're, you know, the guys get up at 6 a.m. to go ride, and then guys are going to bed at two in the morning from out partying. So it's running. It's constant energy the entire time.
What do you hope people take out of reading your book?
Well, you know, I hope they're entertained. I hope they get a little feel for what Sturgis is like, and they have that urge to go, just like I did. And when they go, they'll be amazed at the number of bikes. When you say those 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 motorcycles, you don't really know what that is until you're in the middle of it, and it's so loud and exciting, and things are, and so many people are walking around, and there's so many things to do. So I hope they get, you know, a feel for the rally, and then also, you know, just that they're entertained with the book. That is maybe a little twist or turn, and they like the characters that I've developed, and they're going to come back for a book two and a book three too. So hopefully they'll catch on to it.
Love it. So last one. What is your ride? What do you ride?
Right now I ride an 06 Ultra Electroglide. It's an older model. I've had it for years. I've got, you know, 40,000 miles on it. I love it. It's just kind of glued to me. I also have a Silver Anniversary Fat Boy that I just cruise around town in. But and my son rides a Road King, one of my old bikes. And so you really don't. It's hard to get rid of a Harley once you have one. But my wife put a lid on it in the garage. I can only have the two in there, and I gave one to my son. So I had to abide by her rules.
I love it. JJ Spain, Last Night in Sturgis. Thanks so much for joining us. Get it on Amazon.
Thank you.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Americans who are vaccinated against COVID will soon be able to travel to Europe, according to a top EU official. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen told the New York Times Sunday that lifting restrictions will depend on conditions in the U.S., but those who are vaccinated will be able to travel to the continent this summer. though she did not lay out a timeline. Non-essential travel to the EU has been banned since the beginning of the pandemic last March. And the Biden administration has partially lifted a ban that will allow for the export of raw materials for the production of COVID vaccines to try to help India control a massive second wave of infections. A spokesperson for the National Security Council said Sunday in a statement that raw materials needed to produce the COVID-Shield vaccine will be made available to India. The country is undergoing a large surge in new cases, recording more than 346,000 on Sunday. Officials say that a new variant of the virus, the B1617, is partially responsible for the surge in cases. This is USA Radio News. The CDC lifted a pause on the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine Friday after looking into cases of rare blood clots. The agency decided to lift the pause after determining that the possible risks are outweighed by the vaccine's benefits, but ordered the shot to come with a warning label and information about the possible side effects. The White House's chief medical advisor says the 11-day pause is proof of the country's commitment to vaccine safety. Dr. Anthony Fauci tells ABC's This Week that the extra investigation should help assuage those with some hesitancy over the vaccines.
There was a pause, it was examined, and now we're going ahead with it, which tells you that if you look at all of the other vaccinations that have been done, you know, we've had about 141 million people have received at least one dose of the vaccine. A very small proportion of that, about 8 million, has been J&J. The rest have been the mRNAs from Pfizer and from Moderna. So if anybody has any doubts about the safety of those other vaccines, and including J&J, we can now say, you know, we take this very seriously.
This is USA Radio News.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Welcome to the mailbag. Thanks so much for all of your emails. Yes, I am coming back to the satellite facility soon, but I'm still broadcasting from Florida. I've been in Florida visiting family, giving a speech, first time out. Wow, pretty exciting to do one of those half-in and half-out speeches, meaning they call them hybrid speeches, and it's something I've waited for a long time, as you know, when I take the show on the road and had in the past. So now here we are in a different time in history where it's, like I said, half in and half out. All right, a couple of great emails here at the top. I mean, you're just kind of all over the place, whether it's talking about Chauvin and the judgment, whether it's talking about the crew that have been found dead in this sunken submarine. Somebody sent me the email. In fact, it was Jake, and it made me look up the story. So let's go to that one first. Jake says, Kate, did you happen to see this? I was reading through briefs, and I happened to see this thing about the crew that was found dead in this submarine, and it just seems so odd to me. I wondered if you knew any more details. Yeah, there has been a lot reported about it. It's an Indonesian Navy is saying they've confirmed the missing sub sank with all 53 crew off the coast of Bali. It's a Nagala 402, and it was found in three sections after a sonar scan, I guess. Then that's how they do it. I detected some kind of object, and it was very sub-like at 2,800 feet. Because of being divided into three parts, the hull of the ship, the stern of the ship, the main parts were separated, and the main part found cracked was a big hint there. So search teams found things from inside the sub in the ocean over the weekend that showed that it had cracked and had sunk, so there was no hope of survivors. They found a torpedo straightener, a grease bottle believed to be used to oil the periscope, prayer rugs, and it disappeared after its last dive Wednesday off of Bali, which of course is a resort area. And officials said the submarine's oxygen supply would have run out early Saturday. They had previously considered the sub missing. So that's the bottom line. It's very tragic. And I was looking at a map. It's interesting that, Jake, you said this, because somebody mentioned the story to me. Maybe it was even my nephew, and I'm not sure. But I look at the map, and I see Bali, a place I've always wanted to go. It's beautiful. You think of the Jakarta. You think, you know, further over in Indonesia. You think of some of the areas outside of the Indian Ocean, for example, and the Java Sea, and that that sub with those missing, the missing fleet on it, just right there, right off that Bali Sea. So it does make you wonder that it just broke into those parts. Sad story. I mean, they were a coffin. That's what happened to them. All right, this one is from Mary. Kate, I listen to the show. Love when you talk about everything from, what do you call it, A to Z, or odds and ends, or I'm not sure, but I find it fascinating. Instead of sticking to one thing, beating the crap out of it like so many people elsewhere do, keep up the good work. So Anthony Fauci talking about sending vaccines to places like India that has been slammed by COVID-19. What do you make of that? Well, I think it's clear that we have way more than enough vaccine. In fact, a lot of the vaccine, the mass vac sites, will be eventually over with, because they can't even give them all out now in some places. It depends on where we're talking about, but enough places in the United States. So we got a surplus. So the consideration is sending the surplus AstraZeneca vax to India, because we got a stockpile. And we got, you know, people in Asia reeling from COVID-19. And you look at not just us, but you look at England, you look at Germany, and they're pledging to help India. It's a crisis. You know, 1 billion mark is what they surpassed, the number of vaccines. 1 billion. Worst hit country are the 1.3 billion people, the capital of New Delhi. Overwhelmed hospitals, severe oxygen and medicine shortages. Of course, patients, families begging for help. We as America are humanitarians. We do care about other people, right, everybody? And in this case, we have the surplus. Why would we hoard it? Of course, we ramp up what we can do on the ground too. I mean, oxygen, PPE, whatever it is to help. And we have to make sure that our vaccine is enough for herd immunity, and that's been doled out. But I can't see how we wouldn't be part of that. I can't see how we wouldn't be part of it. It doesn't make any sense. All right, let's bounce on to something else. This one is from Joe, and Joe says, "Kate, I look at Afghanistan and I wonder if, as much of a mess as it is this really the right thing to do? All the blood, sweat, and tears, as you would call it, poured into the quicksand of the Middle East, and now we're getting out of the Middle East. Well, yeah, I mean, it's permanent withdrawal from the local areas of Afghanistan. You know, General Austin Scott Miller, who's the commander of forces in that country, talked to reporters in Kabul on Sunday and said, "I have a set of orders, and we're going to conduct an orderly withdrawal from Afghanistan, and that means transitioning bases and equipment to the Afghan security forces." So it's a done deal. There's no wiggle room. There's no reconsidering. There's no saying, well, what happens if the Taliban rolls over and takes over once again, which probably, of course, it will do the second we're out of there. But President Biden determined, this is it. We're pulling the troops out by September 11th. You know, this was something that he shared with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, when he was president, wanted to do that. So this is it. 2,500 forces are still stationed in Afghanistan. There are hundreds of special operations forces. Last week, the Department of Defense ordered long-range bombers in the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower aircraft to help provide security as they withdraw, because of course they're going to need security if you think about it and you think how long that we have been invested there. How many lives have been lost? How many crazy, cockamamie, head-scratching things have happened as a result of being involved in Afghanistan? A lot is the answer. I mean, a lot. Wow. All right, this one is from Ben, who is listening to us in New Orleans. And Ben says, hi, Kate. I know that you went to Florida. I'm wondering if this signifies with you traveling or other people traveling as well. What does that look like? What was it like for you to be on the plane? I missed when you talked about that. I do think we are getting signals that we're getting closer to the world being opened up and people flying again and feeling at least comfortable about it, a little bit comfortable about it. Maybe not completely uncomfortable. And it felt to me like people really desperately wanted to be out. That's, you know what, that's what it felt like. It felt like, have we been in a movie? Have we been in pajamas and sweatpants and not brushing our hair and not doing things we normally would do because we're exhausted from staying home so much, which seems like such a first world problem, which it is. But it's, of course, been incredibly strange for all of us, me included. And getting on that plane, I felt safe. I did. I felt safe. They handed you bags with the water and cookies in it. There was no exchanging hands, any of that kind of stuff. The sanitation of the plane, I thought, was outstanding. So that's the kind of things that you want to look for in getting back to flight again. Mask wearing, distancing, the things that are pretty easy to do and pretty obvious that they have to be done, right? And this, I mean, that's it. That's what's happening when you go through. That's what you get. And I'm not saying that every airport is the same as the airport I went through. It was a direct flight. It was the DFW airport to Tampa International, which I think is big and has room. I thought the day that I was at DFW, it seemed like there was plenty of room. People weren't squished in or on top of each other. So, you know, there you go. All right, let's move to yet another email. This one is from Trevor. Hi, Kate Delaney. It's Trevor. I want to say I enjoy the show, although it sounds like a line, but I do. And I wondered what was the busiest airport in the United States. I think you say it's Atlanta. You know what? Atlanta is a very, very busy airport. But some of the traffic in general has fallen off. In 2020, air passenger traffic around the world fell by 65%. That's according to ACI. 51%. So think of the decisions you're trying to make there. What are you trying to do? How are you trying to pump up domestic air travel? And I think it's rebounding. I do. I think it's rebounding. But it hasn't rebounded completely yet at this point. So if you do travel like I did, and I told you the two airports I went through, I felt, I have to tell you, I felt safe. And that's really, really the good news. All right. I will meet you on the flip side. Promise.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Get past the beat, forget past the hit, man. Get on top, get on top, get on. Oh, get on your good foot. Get on your good foot. Get on your good foot. The good foot.
We go to the UK for a conversation with Gloria Hanley, and she's written a book called Everybody's Midwife. And, you know, when I think about children and I think about that moment where their life begins, where, you know, where they come into the world, what a special stage that is. What a special, I think, privilege it is for people who are in this profession where they get a chance to be a part of the miracle of life. And that's exactly what Gloria has been able to do. So, Gloria, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Tell me about why you became a midwife. How did that happen?
Well, when I was young, back in the Caribbean, because I was born in the Caribbean, I wanted to be a preacher, a minister in the church. But that meant leaving home at 18, and my parents didn't approve of that. So I thought, well, I'd better train as a nurse. Nursing was far away from my thoughts, but I thought, well, that's the next best thing. However, they weren't offering me the type of training that I wanted, so I spotted an opportunity to come to England to pursue my training for 3 years and to go back. But once I got here, the 3 years passed, and I settled down and never went back. So I trained as a nurse, and then I trained as a midwife. And I found that midwifery just sat with me because I'm a people person. So it just sat well with me. I was able to give care to women during their pregnancy, during their delivery, and during their postnatal. And I just loved it.
And you talk about, we talked about this off the air, what the first delivery was like for you. And you actually put it in two different ways, where a delivery in a hospital and the delivery not in the hospital. Tell us about that story.
Well, my first delivery in the hospital was very frightening. Frightening, but there was help about. So if anything went wrong, I could always refer to someone. My first delivery at home, in the patient's home, the baby was crying, the mother was crying, the father was crying, the midwife was crying. It was such a moving experience. I was overwhelmed, they were overwhelmed, and my first delivery I cannot repeat. It was such an experience for me. And I felt as though I had accomplished something because there was nobody there for me to turn to. It was just me.
Wow. Incredible. And you recall so much of what's happened to you in the book, Everybody's Midwife. Why'd you decide that you were going to do this book?
Well, when I first went into the community, I was given a diary and to record my visits. And at the end of every day, I would look at my visits and I would make notes of what I did. And I would do that, and I've done that right through my midwifery experience. But halfway through, I reviewed it and I thought, I should keep this up. And when I retired, I thought, I need to record this so that my children and my grandchildren have a legacy. They can see the good ways, the bad ways, the positive things that happened to me, the negative things that happened to me. And it's there for them to read.
Wow, what a great legacy for them to really know what it was like for you and what the profession was like and whatnot. And it's so hard, I said this at the beginning, to have the privilege of being there is such a unique, experience, and to be in the middle of that is so, so unique. Do you think that every time you go through a birthing process and you watch somebody come in and talk with somebody and you get to know them, do you just feel this connection that you can't explain?
You do. I got to know the women because I saw them as soon as they had a positive pregnancy test, which meant that I followed them right through their pregnancies. So I knew them, I got attached to them, and I knew them by name, I knew all the relatives, I knew everyone attached to that family. So when the time came for delivery, I knew exactly the needs of the woman, of all the women. And just to deliver their baby and give them a healthy baby at the end of their pregnancy brought deep, deep satisfaction to me.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. What do you think the misconceptions are for people who don't know about being a midwife and midwifery?
People look at films on the television and they see husbands or moms running for towels and boiling hot water and, you know, sterilizing stuff and all the gunge. It's nothing like that. It's a peaceful delivery. We don't boil water because everything we bring with us are sterile already. And you know what the beauty of especially at home, I talk more of home because most of my deliveries were in the homes. The beauty of having a delivery at home, it's the peace and the tranquility and no unnecessary interference and no one breathing down your neck. It's just you and the family. If it's just the mom, it's just the mom and myself until the little one comes on the scene.
Wow, and what a difference too. Like you say, there's, you don't have those interruptions. And when you're at the home, there's things that you have to prepare, right? But you know that's ahead of time because, as you mentioned, you are with the women through the whole process.
Yes, yes. But there isn't much preparation at the home. They have to make me cups of teas to keep me, especially during the night, because babies, they are usually born at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So normally they would have to keep me awake. But there's not much, well, the minimal preparation, because already the woman would have made her bed and using old linen, old bed linen, because once that baby has been delivered, I pile up all the bedding, put them in a bag, and they are disposed of.
Yeah.
And then I remake the bed, and I have to give the baby a bath and the woman if she needs one. And so everything is there on hand.
Right, which is terrific. So we talked about what you know, this is like something to leave for your children and grandchildren, but what about people listening, and if they read it, what do they take away from reading your book, Everybody's Midwife?
Well, apart from my children and grandchildren, whoever picks up this book, I would love them to be inspired by it. I would love them to see that despite institutional racism, despite racism that I found whilst working in some of the home, despite man-made barriers, despite not being able to be promoted, I still conquered all that. I enjoyed my job. And, you know, the thing is to don't let man-made barriers get in the way of something that you know that you have a heart for. You just have to work at it, and you will achieve. That's the message I want to leave for my children, my grandchildren, and for anyone who reads this book, that you can do it too.
Yeah, whatever it is that you want to do. I love how you said that, Gloria. Man-made institutions, don't let them stand in your way, because you didn't let that happen.
That's right.
Wow. What a beautiful place to end this. Gloria Hanley, you can get the book on Amazon, and it is really fascinating, and it really is a privilege to be in the spots that you've been in, I think, to be there for the beginning of life. It's so exciting. Everybody's Midwife, again, is the name of the book. Gloria, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Lovely to talk to you.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.